I have. What did we do since Sunday?
Monday we hung out at the beach a little bit. Yesterday we went to St. Augustine. Never been there. That's a pretty cool place if you've never been there. And then I'm going to talk to you guys for a little bit today. And then I forgot my suit at home. And I'm doing the Xfinity race from the booth for Fox. And so I got to get a suit. So that's my project after this. Yeah, I don't really like shopping, but it's there, you know. He's going to have to.
When you look at somebody like him over here, he's starting his basically cup career. He's got a couple of races under his belt, but he's starting his cup career. He's 27 years old. Could you imagine starting your cup career at 27?
Be a little easier than what it was for me when I was 18. But, it's just different, right? And I think that's, in a way, probably good for him, because a lot of times, I know from just my experience, once if you start too early and you make a name for yourself the wrong way, or you don't make it and you get put back down to Xfinity or trucks, that's usually it. It's over, right? And that's the end of your cup career, most likely. But for him, he's more prepared. He's more ready. He's more mature. Been through some stuff in his racing career where he's more ready to make the big step, which I think is probably a smart move on his part.
That being the case, about if you don't make it, you go back. How fortunate do you feel that you were able to land with Roger and those guys?
I'm to one every day. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I was that. As I said, I started too young. I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't succeed. I lost my job, and God willing, gave me an amazing shot to race for Roger Penske. I mean, he couldn't. How's that happen, right? So that's I remind myself that every day that I've been put in an amazing spot, and I better take advantage of it. But I also know going into that is, like I always say, is my second time, and knowing and learning a lot more. Or knowing a lot more than what I did the first time, I was able to attack that second chance a lot better.
What is it that makes Daytona so difficult to win?
Well, everybody wants to win. There's a lot of cars that want to win, a lot of good cars. And just like any other super speedway race, anything can happen at any moment. And, we saw even, last lap of the Daytona 500, last lap of the Clash. Like, it's... there's something that's going to happen on the last lap most of the time. That there's going to be a run. You're going to have to defend it. There might be a crash that you're going to have to get through. Everybody kind of looks at the Daytona 500 as, points are great, but it's not about the points for this race. It's about winning the Great American Race, the biggest race of the year. That's what it's all about. No one really cares about getting second or third place points in this race as much as they would maybe in Atlanta and saying, okay, we start a championship run. Yes, it starts here at Daytona, but this race means more, and it stings to finish second.
Is it fair to say now that the front's the least safe place to be at now? It feels like the last four or five races, all the big wrecks have started with the leaders.
I don't think it's the least safe place. I don't think there is a safe place when you're out there. It's when you're running sixth or seventh, you can see the leaders dicing it up, throwing blocks, doing things. But if you're sixth or seventh, you're right behind that, and most likely you're going to get caught up in it. I got lucky the other night that I got through it. But most likely, if you're anywhere close to it, you're not going to make it through. Same for, if you're the leader, then at least you're in control of the blocks that are there. You can control your destiny a little bit better. I'd rather be in that spot.
Is it because of the heightened importance of blocking, just because of the way this restricted plate package races?
Yeah, it's just evolved, right? As the race car drivers get better at drafting and understanding it better every time, and we all become more aggressive. And the cars that... yeah, they handle okay, but they're not the most stable things to drive. You can't just throw the thing around like it's an Indy car and expect it to stick. That doesn't work. But we have to sometimes make moves that quick, and sometimes the car doesn't want to do that.
Did you know that you would be the first defending cup champion to Dale Jarrett to win the Daytona 500?
I heard that. I heard that about a month ago, and I said, that'd be pretty cool. So we'll give that a shot. That sounds good.
How
How has it changed your life?
Everyone always says, "Hey, champ." I think that's kind of cool. That part's kind of neat. Outside of that, you know, it doesn't change a whole bunch, and I'm glad it didn't. I became busier, obviously, and you guys want to talk to me a little more. That's kind of cool. It's kind of doesn't feel good when you sit here and no one's really listening to you. So this is great. But you know, but you're all by yourself here. Oh yeah. I've been here a while ago, but I've been there. But you know, I think just what I told my team and I told my wife and everyone, I said, you know, that was last year. And one of my favorite Roger Penske quotes is, "Don't trip on your press clippings." And that's one of my favorite ones, because that's last year, and we need to keep looking forward, because right now we're past champions in my eyes. As soon as we unload it down here, the championship fund's over, and it's back to you know, trying to win another one. We're back at zero with everybody else, so we're going to fight that. What was the most fun? Winning. That's the best part. To me, the most fun was just right when you get out of the car. And you see your team, you see your family, you're up there on the, you know, victory lane stage and all that. That to me was the most rewarding and fun piece, to see everybody else's face as excited as I was. And then getting back home after the media tour and watching all the specials on TV and kind of reliving the moment, that was a lot of fun for me.
Is this season too long? I mean, it's been a talk.
I don't think so. I enjoy every bit of this. I still love my job. I don't know if you guys love coming to the track, but I freaking love this. So, and it hasn't changed in the last, 10, 11 seasons for me. I still look forward to getting down to Daytona. I got down here early just because I wanted to get down here. I get excited about it. It's a lot of fun to race these stock cars. It's been my dream since I was a kid. So if I complained about a season being too long, that would be pretty dumb. And I really just really not like that.
How do you describe this? You guys have the longest season of any sport.
Mm-hmm.
How do you describe the grind and trying to maintain, be competitive from here all the way through November?
It is a long season. There's no doubt about it. I think I enjoy the grind, and that's how I get through it. I have fun with it. You can joke around, but also, you know, I take it very serious at the same time. And I think that balance allows me to stay focused for a long period of time. You know, you don't kill yourself. If you can have fun doing what you're doing, it doesn't feel like work. You know, if you feel like you're going to work every single day for that long, then it does feel like a really hard grind, and you can't wait for the season to end. But for me, you know, the season ends, and I'm like, well, I want to go race something this weekend. that's how I work.
You know, 40 years ago, there was a really iconic NASCAR moment, a fight, you know, Donnie Allison.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that happened here? No, there's a fight in NASCAR? No. Am I aware of it? Yeah, I think anybody's seen it. They played that a lot. You know, I mean, that's like I said earlier, it's the biggest race of the year. Whether it's now or then, it was a big deal to win the Daytona 500, and it still will be, and it is. So, I mean, they play it every year about five or six times, so I'm sure I was a little guy. I can't remember when.
Can you talk about the Mustang?
Yeah.
You know, you had the Fusion for 10 years. Now you're coming with a brand new piece. Any worries, concerns?
No. I think if there was a time to switch to the Mustang, this was the year. Because there was a rules change coming with it, right? So if you looked at Toyota and Chevy, when they switched to their new body, there was a learning curve for them. And there will be a learning curve for us, right? We don't have the body as refined and as much as what we did the Fusion. But we have a longer runway with it. And that learning curve that we're going to have to go through, everyone else has to go through a learning curve now too, because the aero rules have changed. And they have to start from scratch too. So the timing of this decision by Ford and the race teams affiliated with them, I think is perfect. You know, it's as good as it can be. Maybe we have a little more learned than the other teams or other manufacturers, but I do think this is the time to do it, and it's working out. It's going to work out well, I think.
And then Thursday's race, are you dreading it or you're looking forward to it?
The duel?
Yeah.
No, I don't dread a race. I look forward to races. Like I said, I look forward to coming down here. I don't dread a thing. You know, there's a race, there's points, and a trophy at the end of it. We're going to go get it.
Joey, moving forward, if they decided to mix up the schedule and we didn't start the season with the Daytona 500, and let's say we went somewhere off, like California, is that a good thing for the for NASCAR?
I don't really know why we would do that. You know, I do think the Daytona 500 as a kickoff event is very important for our sport. You know, I think it brings a lot of momentum to what we're doing. As you guys well know, you know, we have a good race here. That momentum through the West Coast, it kind of gets us going for the rest of the season. So I think you got to have a huge event to start. You don't want to have a soft opening. You want to have a grand opening. And I think the Daytona 500 does that.
Joey, how anxious are you to get to work with the new rules package next week in Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm anxious to see what it's going to be like. I did the Fontana test out there at Auto Club Speedway, and you know, that was it was interesting there. We're different, obviously. We only had three cars, so you don't really get the full effect. But the draft that was into effect there, and us moving around and trying to find clean air in the corners and drafting down the straightaways, we had fun. It's only three cars, but we had a blast. We were three wide, if that means anything. So I think at that racetrack, it's going to be very entertaining for a long time now. At the Atlanta, I don't know. I haven't been there yet. It's an unknown for a lot of race teams. Some have tested there, but I have not. So, you know, I think as tires wear out, the race will change a lot. I think what you'll see on the restarts is that you're going to see the big three wide groups, big pack. And I think as tires wear out, which they do at Atlanta worse than anywhere, that the pack's going to spread out a little bit, and the cars that are handling good are going to drive to the front. You know, we kind of saw that the Fontana test, that, you know, the cars that were trimmed out, when you can go wide open all the way around the racetrack, those cars drove to the lead. And then when that car started handling bad, the car that was maybe a little slower, that had a little more downforce built in, drove to the lead and drove away. So there's a lot of this comers and goers type of thing that we're all going to have to figure out as race teams, which is going to be fun.
Yeah, the aggression level for the drivers on these restarts can be going to have to be pretty high. You're going to have to turn it up another notch. At least it appears that way.
Yeah, well, and the cars will give us the ability to do that. You know, but before, you know, when you have 800 and something horsepower or so, and you got, you know, not as much downforce, you can't make quick moves and bump into each other and push each other as much on the straightaways, because the cars are unstable and you're going to crash. When you take horsepower away and add more downforce, now we can be more aggressive, right? Because the cars are more stable, especially on straightaways. You know, now when we get to the corners, it's going to be a different game, right? At that point, we're going to have to try to find cleaner air. What I did figure out in Auto Club is that when you're by yourself, they're not as hard to drive as they are now, but when you're in traffic, it's even harder because they're unpredictable. The car's going everywhere. That wake, that huge spoiler, the drag ducts, all those things do in the corner makes the car unpredictable. And you're going to see cars with big slip-ups, just like we did the All-Star race. You know, you had the cars that were going and then made huge mistakes, and you about crash. I was one of those two times in that race. So that's just how it's going to be, and we're going to have to figure out how to handle that.
You're going to look forward to the competitive side of it, being able to make more moves, more dicing back and forth. That kind of seems to me like something you like.
Yeah, I'm an aggressive driver, and so I think it kind of plays into my hand a little bit. I think that's a great thing. But it's something that all of us as race car drivers and race teams are going to have to figure out. It's a new challenge for us. This isn't anything that we've done before. And it'd be interesting to see just how the drivers and teams evolve over the next 10 races. You know, because you may see a couple teams figure a couple things out, or a couple drivers do some things. But one thing I learned about this sport is everyone studies it pretty hard, and everyone's going to, you know, find everybody's strengths and weaknesses and work on it. And the field will change throughout the course of the first 10 races or so.
Is that when we'll finally get a good indication as how this is going to work? Do you feel like we've got to be patient just to kind of
I don't think we can be too quick to judge what's happening. You know, we're all going to judge it, right? That's kind of our jobs, right? We're going to say, oh, I thought this was better or worse or whatever. But I don't think one race in Atlanta or Vegas or Phoenix or, you know, Fontana, I think you got to give it, like I said, you got to give it 7, 8, 10 races to really understand, okay, when you're, you know, when you have the drag ducts, when you don't have them, you know, when you're the 550 or the 750 package, all that stuff is going to be something that's going to be up to, I guess, for discussion. And we're all going to have our opinions about it, but it's going to change from race one to when we come back around to that same racetrack. It's going to be a completely different race. You know, you think of Texas 1 to Texas 2, how far apart those races are from each other. That's going to be two completely different races. You know, I think as the race teams figure those stuff, the things out as they go.
Is the level of aggression increasing on restarts and throughout the race when you need to drop like that? Is that going to increase conflicts between drivers this year, do you think?
Probably. I totally expect to crash more cars. You know, and that's just as cars are closer and drivers are more aggressive, a mistake will create a bigger crash, and right, we can't get away from it. If you're right behind a guy, you know how it is. You're going on the highway and they check up right in front of you. You can't stop quick enough. You're only going 70. You know, try going 180. You know, the game changes a little bit. So I assume there will be more crashes. I assume that we're all going to tear more stuff up this year. And usually when there's more crashes, there's more conflict. So I think there will be some of that. So it'll be interesting.
Hang on. Do you think the term plate racing will live beyond this race? Like, will it always forever be called that? Or do you think you switch to spacer racing or tapered spacer racing?
That was funny, wasn't it? I don't really know what you – call it what you want. It's racing.
I mean, at the plate tracks, though. Now there won't be plate tracks.
Call it what you want. Honestly, it's racing. You know, if there's more than one car, there's a race. And I don't care if you call it, you know, plate racing, open racing. It's going to be badass. I know that. That's all I really know.
You talked about all the changes. Does that mean that adaptability is probably now a driver's greatest strength? It has to be a driver's greatest strength?
Yeah, you're going to have to be able to adapt to, and that's really one of the greatest strengths a driver can have, is to be able to adapt to what the car's doing. You know, we don't have track bar adjusters anymore. And now we're going to a rules package that's going to be more different than it's ever been, from clean air to dirty air. And we don't have the ability to adjust it anymore. So now the driver and race team has to adapt to that. It should be like that. It should be hard. It shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't be something that we can just move our thumb and be able to fix our car. I don't want to do that. I want to have to work it and steer it and give the driver and race team, you know, the ability to try to overcome some of those tough things about your race car. So I like that part of it. It's going to be tough, but you're going to have to think a lot in practice of what you're going to need in the race, in traffic, and then how do you maintain the clean air and those type of things. So you know, the strategy of the races will change. All that stuff's going to be a new challenge for us.
So is that going to change practice philosophies, where guys aren't going to go out and make single car runs anymore and you're trying to group up with people?
Yeah, you're going to try to group up. Yeah, especially certain racetracks. Now, some tracks you won't, but the bigger racetracks that we go to where you're wide open, just kind of like the trucks. You know, trucks practice like that too. You know, if they can run around the racetrack wide open by yourself, are you really learning anything? So you're going to see a lot of cars go out together, maybe manufacturers, maybe just by random timing of when you're out there and you see another car and you're going to jump out there with them. Our practice plans will have to change because of that.
Your joy coming to Daytona as a series champion, is it more relaxing, more edgy? You've got that on your racing resume now. How is it different from the previous year?
I don't know if it's really any different at all. It's nice to have the box checked that you've won a championship. That's great. But like I said, we're back to zero, and we're not any better than anybody else now. So we need to try to defend that. So our goal is the same this year as it was last year, is to win every race we sign up for and to win the championship. It hasn't changed this year, last year, or the 10 previous. So I think really at this point it's not really any different. It's nice to have that and to have the little thing on your suit. That's super cool. Maybe the coolest part, but it's the past now.
But you feel like you need to step up and be more of a leader in the garage area or a spokesperson to NASCAR for the drivers or anything?
No, I mean, I've honestly tried to do that the last few years, is to try to to be a leader for our sport. And I think all of us should do that. I think we owe that to our sport. I owe it to you guys. I owe it to my race team, to my sponsors, to step up and be more than a race car driver. Just like we'd ask you guys to step up and be more than just a reporter. It's the same for us. And I think that's just the mentality that I have. Now I have maybe a little better platform to do those things, right? I have a little higher stand, a little stool to step on for as the past champion, but that's really it.
Thank you.
Thanks.